Hello, this is Ingrid Dinter, and I'm talking today with Bob Culver, who was one of the veterans that joined us in San Francisco for the EFT project that we did back in spring of 2008. And Bob is very dear to my heart. He's very, he's been very, very courageous and very special in the work that he's done. And he really hung in there with his EFT no matter what, and I really appreciated that. And I'm very glad and grateful that Bob wants to talk today and just share a little bit about how his life has unfolded before and after San Francisco. And if you have any questions for him, just so you know in the beginning that he's very willing to connect with you, you can send him an email, or you can send me an email and I forward it. But there is an email address here on this page, and you can connect with him and talk to him, and he's happy to help you out. So, welcome, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, thank you for being on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. We've been talking about it for a while.
I know we have. And, you know, I think it's very important to do this because I know that many of the guys really, really prefer to talk to a veteran. And I'm not a veteran. I've worked with many veterans. As you know, I've been in Bosnia and all different things. But there's a big difference there. And for many people, it really means a lot when a veteran who has been there and who knows both sides of this is willing to connect with them and share their own experiences. So,
no, I totally understand that because it's very hard for veterans to talk to, I guess, lay people or whatever. I found in the past doing this, and, you know, since I've been out of the service, that I can actually sit down in a room full of vets and we can talk and discuss just about anything and everything. But when we go out, I guess in the real world, we have this wonderful protection of a wall that we've always used. And it took me a lot of years to, you know, to even put a dent in it. So I can understand that wanting to talk to other vets.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as EFTers, we really need to understand that. That as a practitioner, no matter how passionate we are, and also how skilled we are at EFT and doing this work, that there is a lot to be said about veterans helping veterans with EFT and helping each other, and you know, we have to know our place, and I think that this is something that we can learn from you. How we can fit in into your healing, how we can fit into what you need, where we are welcomed, where we're not welcomed. And this is a path, and I've learned a lot in the past from you and from other veterans that I've worked with, and I really appreciate that because otherwise we just can't know this. So thank you for that.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, if you could just share really quickly, you are a Vietnam vet and you are military police.
Right. I think it's very important that, you know, I give a part of my history and everything for people out there to understand that. I was drafted in 1968, so I served through 1968 through 1970. And I was in Vietnam 68 and 69. I was stationed in Chu Lai, which is just south of Da Nang, and I did a year over there. And I'm not going to go into all the wonderful war stories that we all know and everything like that, but after I came back, I had gotten married and the whole nine yards and eventually got a job, but I was, for a lot of years, they didn't recognize PTSD or anything like that, and I was... I went through all of the issues of having nightmares and sweats and hypervigilant and hallucinations, and as it progressively got worse over the years, and eventually I lost my family, I got divorced. There was drinking and there was drugs, and people tried to help me, but and I did have three suicide attempts, and over the course of in the 90s, a friend of mine, counselor, got me involved with the VA, and I did 3 months in Martinsville, New Jersey, where I was diagnosed for PTSD. And just a quick story about that, there was a waiting list, and it was around Christmas time, and there was a waiting list, but he took me down for the evaluation, and you go in front of a whole bunch of doctors and the entire team, and they ask you a bunch of questions, and it started raising the hair on my neck, because I never discussed this. I never discussed Vietnam with anybody at all. And by the time the interview was over, though there was a waiting list, they didn't want me to go home. They wanted me to stay there, and which I did, because that's how severe it was, I guess. I didn't know anything about PTSD or anything like that. And I spent 3 months there. I've done a lot of psych hospitals, and these weren't like 1 or 2 week things. These were like for 2-3 months, and I've done them in Martinsburg, West Virginia, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and I did a lot of programs and stuff like that. But it clicked and it didn't click, and I guess I didn't practice what I was doing, and I was in and out of hospitals most of the time. I was living in the streets at one point in Key West, Florida, just drinking and drugging, whatever I could get my hands on. And I never understood it, even after I was diagnosed, until a few more programs and everything, and it helped. And then I was invited, my brother actually got me into it. He was on the internet, and he saw this thing by Gary Craig, and he set it up that I talked to Gary on the phone. And before the interview was over, Gary had invited me out to California and for a week. And I said, California? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he goes, why? I said, because I don't fly. I have a big fear of heights and flying since I was in the service, and I don't think I've flown maybe once after that. So we did a lot more talking and everything, and eventually he got me to go out there. And I think in the first interview, I said, this is a bunch of crap, that he just laughed and everything. And he said, well, just give it a chance, give it a shot. And he says, I'm going to keep this on tape. And then at the end of the week, you can say what you feel. And, true to my words, I wound up eating my own words by the end of the week. And, I got really involved in it, to the point after all that I'd been through and everything that has happened and everything that I've, lost and everything. After 40 years, it was like the tip of the iceberg. It was the thing that that really sank in with me. Going to AA meetings didn't work. Going to NA meetings didn't work. Medications certainly didn't work because I was on tons of those. I was up to at one severe point, I was taking 20, 25 different types of pills and different medications and stuff like that, and that didn't work. Once I got into EFT, it was like the light at the end of the tunnel, or however you want to say it, and I started doing it even after I left California. And everybody noticed that, okay, what'd you do with the guy in California, because you're not Bob anymore, and it took a long time. And I've been doing it ever since. It's been, 2 years now,
Right.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's you said before, I was probably not practicing what I was being taught or what I was doing when you did the other programs. You really stuck with EFT, and you just never stopped. So why do you think that is? What makes EFT different for you? Why do you think you can stick with it?
Because I had this coach while I was out there, and I used to kid around with her about the using the P word. And which means peace, and finding peace within yourself. And I that's what it is. I was finally at peace with myself, and I was no good to anybody. I was no good to myself unless I could learn to live with myself and put all the things that had happened and all the things that I had done and all the people that I've hurt. I had to put it into perspective and say, okay, this is the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do. And I finally found peace with myself, and I've been doing it to the point where I can do it in my head or what I'm driving. I mean, at one point I was tapping 50, 60, 70 times a day. And so now I'm to the point where I do it every day, but I do it as a second reflex, like getting up and taking a shower. I do it. Sometimes I have to do it. Like when I lived in Pennsylvania last year, and on Veterans Day of all days, my house burnt to the ground, and I lost everything. All I had was clothes on my back, and thank God with friends and stuff that I decided, well, I was going to move to Florida, but now I live down here in just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, where my daughter and granddaughter is, and I enjoy it. I love it. And even through the fire, I would have gone back. I can go backwards at any time, but through the tapping and the people and the support system that I have with EFT and now that my family and stuff like that, I'm able to get through it. I'm able to get through anything now, you know, and I just refuse to get try to get beat myself up, I guess. I don't know. You know, some of the things are still there. They never really go away. But with EFT now, it's like taking medication without a pill, you know. It just works, and you have to utilize it. You can't just go through the motions. I've seen and heard people that do that, and it's like we all know about drinking and drugs. We all get a certain attitude, and even after you stop drinking and drugging, that attitude stays with you for a while. And I enjoy myself, you know. I just found total peace, and it's nothing religious. It's nothing. It's nothing to do with religion. Nothing to do with steps, and you know, it's just something that has finally worked. And I talk to other vets. I do talk to other vets, and they, you know, we all have hard times. We all have things going on, but with the support system, and just keep tapping and the emotional part, you're able to get through it, you know, no matter what, you know. But, like I say, you have to utilize it. You have to do it. You know, it's not something that you just want to, you know, maybe I'll do it today, or I have too much shit going on in my life right now. I don't have time for this crap, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it's like anything else. It's not a magic bullet or anything, but it definitely works for me, and I've been talking to other vets about it, and I've had other vets call me from all over the country for the first year or so after that. And I still keep in contact with a few of the people that we went to California with, so like that.
And you know, and I really appreciate that, Bob. And I think you're very much on target there. EFT, the way I understand EFT, is really a tool that brings back balance. So when something gets out of balance, you can rebalance it. You can release any blocks that are caused. Trauma causes your energy to literally get frozen, and you can just keep it going again. You have been through a lot in your life. You know, I mean, your life has never been easy. And there are consequences for that. And you're dealing with those consequences every day. But you're using EFT for that. And so your life continues to improve and to give you, from how I see you, you know, to give you abilities now, where in the past, I think when we first met, you would have just walked away. You know, you would have probably just dropped the key and said, look, you know, I'm going to give my boss a call, I'm out of here. You know, I remember you telling me that story, you know, leaving a truck in the parking lot and just saying, you know, I don't give a shit, you know.
I'm mailing
the keys, you know, and you're just in a completely different place. You are taking charge. You're doing your stuff. You're finding solutions. And if it's tough, you still find solutions. You know, it's not that all of a sudden everything is perfect and easy and things like that. But what I hear from you, and that's what impresses me so much, you know, about you, is that you are constantly making a choice. And that is so amazing when people say, look, I have a choice here. I can either drop the keys, go off the deep end, do whatever, you know, what I'm used to do. And obviously, when you've done it often enough, then there's a certain amount of comfort zone just going back to the old ways. Or you can sit down and say, okay, you know, something's happening here and I don't need that in my life. And whatever that is, I want to get rid of this and I want to see what's left over from that when I'm done tapping. And you just do that. And, you know, and I think that's a wonderful thing. We are so used to taking care of ourselves in other ways. You know, we would never say, well, I have a big meal on Saturday afternoon, or I brush my teeth on Saturday afternoon for a good hour, and then I just stop brushing. you know, because I did it once.
Right,
and
exactly.
Took me
it's something you gotta, it's something that you have to maintain, and
you will never stop maintaining your car just because you did an oil change a while ago, and it's a good car. It's life. There are consequences for life, and you just have to know how to deal with them. But you do that, and I really appreciate that about you. I remember that first session in San Francisco. Do you remember how we phrased this? The P word? Do you remember what we tapped on?
In that first session in
San Francisco?
I'd have to look at it, go back and look at the tape, really. I don't remember the very first thing.
If I say how we did this, what we talked about?
Go ahead. What?
Do you mind if I?
Oh no, I don't mind at all. No, not at all.
Well, you had said that you had been suicidal in the past, and
there wasn't a day that went by. I woke up every day for years and years and years with the thought of suicide. That was the most fun thing that I had in my mind. I was hell bent on. There wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about suicide.
Right. And we had talked about, I had asked you, why would suicide be a good thing for you? And you said, no, it's not a good thing. I said, well, if it's not a good thing, then you wouldn't be thinking about it all the time. And you had said something like, you know, I just want this to be over with. I just want to be, you know, I think when I'm dead, then things are just going to be easy. Or it's just not going to be, I don't know how you expect it.
Yeah, right. I remember that, yeah.
But we tapped to something in the direction of, even though I want peace so much, then I'm willing to sacrifice my life for it.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it. I'm not saying that, you know, it's been 2 years, and I'm not saying that I don't wake up every day and think about suicide anymore, but I don't, you know, I'm not saying that these thoughts don't, you know, once in a great while now if when I get that thought or something like that, usually it's when something happens or, you know,
there is something to be said about a habit,
tap it out, you know. It's, and I very rarely, I think this is the first time in a very long time that I've even used the word suicide or thought about it, and, you know, and I look at it now in a totally different way, you know. With PTSD, it never goes away. And I don't believe there's a cure for it, but the biggest thing is you have to look at within yourself, and you have to find peace within yourself. And we with the drinking and the drug, we all turned out to be people pleasers and doing stupid things and going stupid places. I told my roommate I was going to do laundry one morning in Pennsylvania, and got in my car and I drove to Key West. And the problem with running away is that you got to take yourself with you, so that's no joy. You know, so, and I wound up back in the streets, you know, so, now I look at these things and I don't know how the hell I lived through it, you know, but I lived through a year and now, and how I lived the rest is totally different. It's like a different person was there, you know?
Right. And I could see that when this thing happened with your place, when the fire happened, that you were really just, you were taking charge. This would have hit everybody hard. Losing everything, this would have hit anybody hard. And you were just, after the shock and after really thinking, okay, what am I going to do? You were very quickly, within days, you were making plans. And I thought, well, this is pretty amazing. I mean, you were tapping
amazed at it.
And you pulled it off. And you realized there's, you know, not much holding you where you were, and there was a better place for you with your family. And you just found a way to figure that out.
That's another thing that I think is important. I was planning on moving to Florida, and my daughter lives in North Carolina. And I've spoken to my daughter on the phone on numerous occasions all the time. And she was afraid. She was scared to death about me even stopping over for a couple of days, because of my temper and my, you know, and trying to dictate how people should live and this and that, and, you know, and she was actually afraid for me to even stop by. And I did. I stopped. I stayed here for a couple of days, and we did a lot of talking and stuff like that. And she says, are you sure? She said the same thing. Okay, what did you do with my father? And I decided to stay, and she loves me as she loves having me. I love being here with my granddaughter, and I have another one on the way. And it's a totally new, brand new relationship with my daughter. We actually love hanging out with each other. We go out to dinner every Friday, and with the baby, and it's just awesome. You know, it's like being reborn, I guess. I don't know, but like I say, it's not like my brother tried to get me into Scientology, and that didn't work. And it's like being, but it's something that you have to utilize. And there's no dues to pay. There's no charges. There's no no religion whatsoever involved in it. And it's just you know, it's just something that you choose that you want to try a different way, you know.
Right, you're right. I'm just so happy for you. I'm so delighted for you. This is wonderful. And, you know, knowing that your family is benefiting from this too, and that their family is recognizing it and enjoying it, and they really, you know, they love to have you around now. And, you know, that's wonderful. That is, I think you really have to pat yourself on the back for that, because this is...
No, I have to pat you guys on the back. If it wasn't for California, which I was totally wasn't thrilled about doing it, and I actually looked at, hey, I get the hell out of town for a week. What the hell? I'm, you know, the plane fare and everything was paid for. So I said, eh. And I guess it was just meant to be, you know. And the plane didn't crash, and, you know, I got back the same way, you know. So, you know, I got
Gary
I got
actually
EFD
tapped with you on the phone. You didn't know that, but he was tapping on that. On that fear of flying that you had to make sure that you could make it over.
Yeah, it was a totally different experience.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, I think it's amazing that you take charge, that you took charge, and you faced the obstacles, and you didn't know what was going to happen when you go to your daughters, if it's going to be okay, if it's not going to be okay.
Exactly.
I remember you being very torn about that, and you just said, what the hell, I'm just going to try it out, I have a plan B, but we'll just see how it goes. And you just took it from there, you took it one step at a time, and you absolutely excelled, you know. And
yeah, I got there on a Friday, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we talked. I had an apartment by that Thursday and a job about a couple of weeks after that, so, you know. And I was just determined, well, I'm not going to, you know, I could always go backwards. There's no problem with it. I know the road. I know how to get there if I want to go backwards. So, you know, and, but I do it every day, you know.
Wow. Bob, that was awesome. what would you have to say to other veterans that are listening, or family members of veterans?
I think it's hard enough on the vet, but it's even harder on the families, especially with the, I remember my kids, you know, my kids saying that I would go out or I'd go to work or something, and they were afraid for me to come home. They didn't know whether I was going to be in a good mood, a bad mood, or, you know, it's harder on the families, and, you just have to try to get them the help that they need, especially, you know, a lot of people complain about the VA and the Veterans Affairs and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, I never really had a problem. I had a chance to go on full disability when I was in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I had the lawyer and everything. I was in a 3-month program out there for PTSD in a program called PPRP, I believe it's called. And I said, no, if I go on disability, I'm going to wind up sitting and drinking and driving the rest of my life on whatever the amount of money was. And I just didn't want to do that. You know, I just didn't want to go on disability. And I forget how much the amount of disability there was. And I could have done that, but I just don't want to do it. And I finally got to the point now. I'm actually looking for, I'm going to plan on retiring at the end of this year. When I turned 62, only because of the jobs and the job market is so hard, and I thought I'd never retire because I enjoy working, you know, besides being an alcoholic or drug addict, I'm a workaholic too. I guess it's part of my obsessive compulsive behavior or whatever, but I learned to handle it, and now I'm actually looking forward to the end of the year. I'm just going to, you know, retire, and my daughter's thinking of moving to Texas and wanted to know if I wanted to go with her, and I said, of course, I'll go anywhere, you know, I'm not in time here. So that's the person
that said, "Oh, I'm not going to go in an airplane for and go to California for."
No, I'm driving. I'm not getting carried away. I'll drive.
Oh, that's funny. Good for you, Bob. So. Hey, I'm so excited for you, and I'm sure that that this is going to help a lot of people who can relate to your story and who probably have been through the same thing. And you know, one of the wonderful things that I've learned since I've been working with veterans is the caring that you guys have for each other. And
I know that
there are a lot of guys that come back right now, some on, you know, second, third, fourth deployment, fifth deployment even, and they are in some ways where you were when you came back. They don't really realize what's going on for them. They don't really realize what's right and what's not. They don't think that there's something really wrong. They're still waiting to adjust, as they say. You know, I've talked with people who say, "Well, I'm just still adjusting." And then I thought, "Wait a minute, you came back 2 years ago." You know, whatever the adjustment process is, we should see some progress by now. You know, we should see that things get easier. But nothing has changed ever since you came back. So maybe there's something else going on here for you, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that so often, and it just fills me with enormous respect, how the Vietnam veterans right now are standing up for the guys that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and all the other deployments and say, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. And if I can heal, then you can heal and you can talk to me. And I just don't want you to have to go through what I've been through. And you know, I see a lot of caring in that, and I hope that some of the troops that came back and that are struggling, that they connect with you too, because I think you really have a story to share.
No, I really hope that they do reach out and you know, and try to grasp something. It like I say, it's not a magic bullet. It doesn't happen overnight. And you have to be surrounded with people that understand. And that's why I say talking to veterans with veterans is a lot better. It's a lot easier in being able to communicate with veterans. And regardless of what war, you know, Vietnam was totally different than Iraq or Afghanistan. It was a totally different war and everything. And at least now they realize that they do accept PTSD as a condition, especially after combat, because they, like I say, they didn't recognize it. I remember my sister took me to a doctor in 95 in Key West, and the doctor said, "No, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a bum, you know, an alcoholic bum or whatever, you know." And you know, they don't
oh
recognize PTSD. And okay, fine. So I went back down and picked up a case of beer and had a good old time. So you know, at least that they've come a long way. And trying to get EFT into the Veterans Administration is almost is very difficult. It's almost I believe it's impossible.
Well, you know,
I did talk to a couple doctors. Talked to one in Corpus Christi, Corpus Christi, Texas. I think that's where it was. As a matter of when I was driving down there. North Carolina, and I was on the phone for him a little while. And I gave him some names and numbers of people that had a lot more experience and a lot more expertise than I did, so hopefully that'll pan out. So, you know, you just have to grasp it, and, you know, like I say, you gotta look within yourself, and you gotta see how bad you want, you know, to find yourself and find peace and try to, I say, get rid of the boogeyman or whatever you want to call it, because that's what I call them. And, you know, but it does take time, you know. But it's like Ingrid says,
it's,
you know,
the nice thing that I see is
I was a sad case for a lot of years. You know, I if I didn't want to kill myself, I wanted to kill somebody else, you know. And that's the way my makeup was, you know. Nobody just got it. I never got it. I never got AA or NA. I never got it. You know, I just didn't get it. You know, and then when I was diagnosed with PTSD, it sort of put everything in perspective. I had to stop drinking, of course, but you know, now it's totally different now. It's everything is just irrelevant except for what I'm going to do and how I'm going to be, you know.
Right, and I mean, you say it's not a magic bullet, which means it doesn't just take your life, the old life away and gives you a new one. That's absolutely true. Your life is your life, and things that happened, happened. But what it does is it takes the charge out of it. And it can take the charge out of fears. It can take the charge out of memories. It can take the charge out of flashbacks. It can take the charge out of beliefs. You know, when we think, you know, that nothing's ever going to work, and we feel really strongly about that, we can tap on that and just see what happens. And, you know, I see that the changes come very, very quickly. They're very feelable, basically right away. But, you know, there is a lot to be cleaned up and to do, and it's not just one round of tapping or something like that. I think you're absolutely right with that. So, you know, and there's another thing that I feel is wonderful about this, about using EFT, is that families can do this together if they want to, you know. So, because I know that you're probably more comfortable talking to somebody you're comfortable with than talking to somebody at the VA or somebody in a mental health field. So if you want to talk to somebody anyway, or if a veteran calls you up and says, you know, I'm having a really hard time. I know that some of the guys that I've been working with, they do that. They say, I have a hard time, and then the other person helps them out. They tap together because they know each other. They speak the same language. They don't have to talk in order to understand each other, and they know how to do this. And so tapping together is an extremely gentle and wonderful thing that you guys, that veterans can do with each other, or families can do with a loved one and with themselves. And I just absolutely love that. I think it's even amazing when we teach the children. And the kids know, you know, when the parents feel better, the kids feel better. So the kids learn from the parents how to do this. And then they say, you know, Dad, you're in tough shape today. You really have to go tap. You know, and I mean, how much nicer can it be? I know that my daughter does that. I mean, I know it because she tells me sometimes, you know, she says, Mommy, you look really upset. You need to go and tap on that. And she's right. I think why using EFT, having a tool like EFT that does not require a background in mental health or diagnosis or anything like that, but that just acknowledges, you know, I don't feel good today, and I'm really mad, or I'm really whatever, and just take the charge out of that. Why that is so helpful, you know, it's an immediate response to something that's going on, and it certainly, I think, it supports any other attempts that people make, any other programs that people might be in, you know. It's wonderful, but I want to thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
It's an honor to know you, and you are quite a role model. And I know that you have given a lot of guys a lot of courage and comfort already. And I just really want to tell you how much I appreciate you, and that I know, you know, that wonderful things are coming out of this for many people. Not everybody that feels inspired will contact you. That's just the way people are.
Well,
I know that many people will.
Yeah, I mean, when I talk to other people and I talk about, you know, what goes on, and, you know, and I talk about, and especially when you talk about related stories that we tell to each other, and it actually, you know, by talking to somebody else who knows, who's been there, and it actually does make you feel better, because I feel better when I talk about it now, whereas before I didn't talk about it for 30 years. I work for the same people and very good friends, and go on vacations together, and they didn't even know that I was in the Army, never mind that I was in Vietnam. So I had that wall for a lot of years. So just talking, even if they just want to, you know, talk about what's going on and everything, because I've been there, done it, bought the T-shirt sort of thing, I'd be more than happy to do that too.
Fine. Well, thank you for that, and I'm sure that people will pick you up on that. They can send you an email and connect with you, and then you can exchange phone numbers if that's what you want to do. Whatever you want to do, this is your thing.
Yeah,
I don't have anything
to
do with that. Okay. All right. Well, thanks again, and we talk later.
Okay. No,
okay,
thank
welcome.
You. I really I enjoyed it. I hope it reaches out and catches somebody here, and hope they get some interest out of it, and that'll, you know, start working on it.
Bob, thank you for all that you've done.
Okay. Now I got to go look for a job. Anyway.